Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. A popular novel of best friends encountering life's trials and tribulations become Netflix's first scripted series of this month. Firefly Lane debuts Wednesday, and executive producer and showrunner Maggie Friedman joins me next. Remember all those TV episodes or movies dealing with guardian angels? This Saturday, Sci-Fi's late-night animation showcase, TVGZ, offers a guardian devil. You'll find this guardian in Devil May Care. The next half hour, we'll find executive producer slash guardian Amanda Miller. Also ahead, the latest on Super Snowstorm 2021. Will Frasier reappear on Paramount Plus? Our classic tribute question, and we remember the Mary Tyler Moore Show's co-creator, Alan Burns. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Block Talk Radio, Speaker into the Radio. Also present on Verbal, iHeartRadio's podcast network, and Amazon Music. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in this hour. Wherever you are joining us on this first February of 2021 and first February day, February 1st to be exact, we welcome you to the program about TV's current and future, and we welcome you here in New Ever York on a day that is incredible. It is snowing. It is snowing heavily. It's unbelievable. Check this out. As of 1 p.m. 2 hours ago, Eastern Time, in Central Park, 13.3 inches on the ground. Let's give you the latest on what is going on with what we're calling Super Snowstorm 2021, also known as Orlena. Right now, in many areas of New York City, New Jersey, it's anywhere from a foot of snow to 17, 18 inches in parts of northern New Jersey. Right now, the snow is coming down at 2 inches per hour, or 2 inches or more per hour. The winds are at 15 to 25 miles an hour, gusting at 30 to 50 miles an hour, depending on where you are. The projection right now is this, 12 to 18 inches still for New York City metro area, 3 to 12 inches for Long Island, depending on where you are. The question is, the center of the storm, the big low, is right now in the Atlantic Ocean. It's not moving. The question is, when will it move? And depending on when it moves, will determine how much more snow we get and whether it will be heavy, whether it will be light, or whether it will be flurries. Right now, the forecasters here in the New York area are saying that the heavy snow is going to continue until at least 6 or 7 o'clock at night, then go to flurries, and the flurries may not stop until tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night at the latest. Those of you who may be listening to us in Boston, New England, you are not out of the woods. Right now, the projection is that a lot of your snow is coming tomorrow, and the Boston province will get 5 to 8 inches. Some of it may involve a mix of rain, sleet, and snow. Nashua, New Hampshire, and Worcester, Mass., 12 to 18 inches of snow where you are, and that could change again at any time. We'll have an update on the snowstorm for you at the top of the next hour. Yes, we're going to be going past our normal hour. We got some great guests in store for you today, and we invite you as always to be part of the program. So wherever you are, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway, or catch us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and Tuner Radio. Our chat room is open for business. Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, which I believe has got anywhere from 8 to 12 inches of snow on the ground where they are, he's in our chat room right now, and we hope you could be there too. So put your thoughts or comments in the room. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And as always, while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Radio, tune in to speaker screen, follow the instructions, other people can be live with you. 30 degrees at the top of the hour. By the way, it's a silver lining. The weather is supposed to warm up by the end of the week. It could reach 50 by Friday, and we may get some rain to wash all that snow away. Maggie Friedman from Firefighting on Netflix will join us live from Los Angeles after these news notes. And we begin, unfortunately, with some sad news. Jamie Tarsus, the first female overseer of a television network, passed away earlier today. Family members disclosed that Tarsus, who ran ABC Entertainment as president from 1996 to 1999, suffered complications from a heart ailment last fall. Before ABC tenure, Tarsus was a programming executive at NBC, developing such comedy classics as Mad About You, Friends, and Frasier. Post-ABC, she was an independent producer whose credits included Happy Evenings for Happy Endings for ABC and Franklin and Bash for TNT. She was on our show, by the way, as executive producer of one of those programs. She did as an independent producer several years ago. Tarsus was 56. A revival of Frasier is in very early, and we repeat, very early discussion of Paramount+. It's unclear if Kelsey Grammer, who has had several efforts over the last decade to bring back the comedy he headlined, is behind this try. No comment yet from Paramount Plus. Truck up NBA superstar Chris Paul as the latest pro basketball talent to dip into TV series production. Paul is executive producer of Why Not Us, an ESPN Plus docuseries on North Carolina Central's men's basketball program. The 8-episode presentation starts February 12th, and Paul, through his own dip shingle, has a second project, The Day Sports Stood Still, ready to run HBO this spring, directed by Antoine Fuqua. Well, we will have a rundown of News No Quickies at the top of the next hour, including, and we just learned this about 15, 20 minutes ago, breaking news on the death of Screech himself, Saved by the Bell co-star Dustin Diamond. We will have that news as part of our News No Quickies roundup at the top of the next hour. As we mentioned in the tease, Netflix's first scripted series of this month is a very unusual personal saga called Firefly Lane. It's based on the best-selling book by Christian Hanna, and here to talk about it, live from Los Angeles in an Air Radio exclusive, executive producer and showrunner, Maggie Friedman. Maggie, good afternoon to you.
Hi, good afternoon.
It's a pleasure to have you with us. So what got you involved in this very interesting personal saga?
I met a producer a couple years ago who had the rights to this book, Firefly Lane, by Kristen Hanna, and she gave it to me. She said, have you read this? I said, no. She said, give it a look, see what you think. And I took it home and I read it and I just fell instantly in love with this story of best friends told over multiple decades. I knew right away I wanted to be a part of this, make it into a TV show, bring it out to the world. So luckily I got to.
It is one of those when you, even if you don't know the novel, it is one of those kind of sagas that you love. You know, two people know each other for decades, met when they were, you know, very young. You know, they go through ups and downs together. They get separated, they come back together. It's the kind of a saga that definitely brings warmth to your heart.
Yes, it reminded me of movies that I grew up on, like Beaches or Terms of Endearment, about these kind of complicated female relationships that span decades. And it just felt very real and relatable to me. And I feel like we haven't seen something like this in a while, so I was really excited to be able to work on it.
Mm-hmm. When you got the assignment, what was like first in your mind about what you wanted to bring out? And when you got the assignment, did you have the stars who play the women who are, you know, with each other for such a long time? Were they already set to go, or did you have to audition them?
No, well, so when I read the book has a kind of a linear format. It starts out in the early 70s, and it goes to 2006. And when I read it, I realized, like, I love all of the different eras. I love the stuff where they're teenagers in the 70s, and then in the 80s, they're young women pursuing careers in journalism. And then in the 2000s, it's kind of about them in midlife, grappling with the life choices that they've made. And I loved each part of the book so much that I was like, okay, how am I going to tell this story in a TV series where in the book, you know, it goes from the start to the beginning? And then I realized, oh, I could tell it out of order. I could do a non-linear timeline. And so so in each episode, we can be in the 70s and the 80s and 2003. And that really helped crack it for me. But when I was writing the pilot, I did not think about – I tend not to think about actors when I'm first writing. I just sort of saw the characters in my mind. And then, once it was written, we went out to Katherine Heigl and Sarah Chalk. And, I mean, both of them are so perfect for their roles. Now I can't imagine anyone else.
And Catherine is also a co-executive producer on this, too.
Yeah. Catherine's an executive producer, and she's fabulous. She's just so great to work with. She's fun. She's smart. She's an incredible actress. I just think she's so great in the role. It's her different than you've seen her before. She's a brunette now. I think she brings so much heart and humanity to this character who could be, you know, in the wrong hands. She's a character who does a lot of things that you don't necessarily like. She's not always likable, but Catherine makes her lovable at each turn, which I so appreciate.
We're talking about Firefly Lane. It's the new Netflix scripted series that premieres this Wednesday on smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the place. And our first guest today, this February 1st, 2021, on Tomorrow Be Televised, is its executive producer and showrunner, Maggie Friedman. Joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Signing up with you live from New York on this first day of Feb 2021. A very snowy New York City, 30 degrees at the top of the hour, and already 13 inches on the ground, according to the folks in Central Park. If you have a question or comment for Maggie, well, make that phone call go, 646-652-2906. Or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. As you know, this weekend is Super Bowl Sunday, and Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we're going to look past the Super Bowl to a pro football league you might not know about, but it's going to make a big move to television this spring. It's called American Seven. It's 7-on-7 football, and we will talk to the founder of that organization, Senior Corcus, will be with us. And then you'll meet somebody who's a bigwig in the world of unscripted television. Her name is Abby Greenfelder. We've had her on the program before. The last 2 years, she's run her own operation called Every Woman Studios, and now she's making a major move to encourage more women to do reality television. We'll have both those people on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Give us more of a sense, Maggie, of the scope of Firefly and more of, like, your writing expertise in terms of putting the saga together.
Well, it's a pretty epic story, really. You know, you meet these two characters when they're 14. It's 1974. Tully, who's Katherine Heigl's character, she moves in across the street from Kate, who's Sarah Chalk's character. And Kate is kind of a mousy, you know, wallflower, a little bit dorky. And this girl moves in across the street who is just fabulous and very grown up for her age. She has a mom who's a bit of a hippie, kind of a mess. And so Tully is really the adult in her household. And Kate has this seemingly perfect family. And the two of them, each of them has what the other wants. You know, Kate wishes she was fabulous like Tully, and Tully wishes she had the kind of loving family that Kate does. And they become bonded when they're teenagers. They make a decision that they're going to pursue these careers. And so you see them in the 80s when they're young women kind of taking the world by storm. Tully ends up becoming a reporter, Kate's a producer, and then later, in their 40s, Tully is a very famous, kind of fabulous Oprah-esque talk show host, and Kate has chosen a path of motherhood and family and marriage, and when you see her in 2003, her marriage is falling apart, she's going to re-enter the workforce kind of on the bottom rung of the ladder, and their lives have taken very different paths, but through it all, they've maintained this bond, and they are best friends, and they are always there for each other through thick and thin, no matter what. So it's really just charting this friendship and all of the crazy stuff that happens to them along the way. And it's just really fun to make the eras come alive, to see the music and the fashion and the kind of cultural events of the 70s and the 80s and the aughts. It's a story with a lot of scope.
Yeah. It's also based at a time when we saw women awaken in terms of their possibilities
yes.
in life.
Definitely.
Just homemakers and housemakers be in the workplace.
Yeah, Kate's mother in the 70s is very keen on, you know, she's a housewife and she's very keen on, your generation is so lucky. You can do whatever you want. You're gonna have anything you want. And the truth is, I don't know if that is necessarily true. I mean, we are always making progress. We've made a lot of progress, certainly from the 70s. But I think both Kate and Tully butt up against, there's still limitations on them as women. And can you have it all? You know, maybe not all at once. So I think those questions of the changing roles, it's a big part of the show, and it's something that I find really fascinating.
How did you and your production team, Maggie, recreate the times? Where did you go in terms of either shooting location or in terms of resources to try to bring alive again the time of the 70s, the time of the 80s, the time of the 90s?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, we had an amazing costume designer, Elisa Swanson, who found vintage pieces for them to wear. She built some clothes, you know, she made some clothes. And I just think you need to get those period details right or else it's not going to ring true. We had, I mean, the hair and makeup And we had an amazing production designer who kind of, we found these two houses out in rural, you know, outside Vancouver. And they happened to be across the street from each other. And they're both really kind of 70s-tastic. And we were able to use those, and they remade them on the inside in a very 70s way. And it just felt so authentic, even standing in the living room. And so we, you know, we relied heavily on set design and costumes and hair. And then, for me, the music is so key. So, you know, bringing those songs on the soundtrack, those classic songs that you remember from the eras, I think it's really, it puts you in that time.
At the same time, Maggie, did you work with a composer to compose original music that also reflects the time?
Oh, yeah. Our composers are Wendy and Lisa. You know, they were in Prince and the Revolution back in the 80s. And, you know, I don't know if you remember them from Purple Rain. They're in the movie Purple Rain. And I've worked with them on a couple shows, and they are incredible. They are so talented. They have this encyclopedic knowledge of music from all the eras, and they were able to really compose, you know, the score that they made. It's like, the score that you hear in the 70s, it feels like it's from the 70s, and yet, and the 80s, you know, score felt like it was from the 80s, but yet it all feels of a piece. They were able to kind of connect all the different eras through the music, but have each era feel specific. So I think they're incredible. And they, you know, they're Emmy winners. They won an Emmy for Nurse Jackie. They're so good. So.
You know, Wendy and Lisa, I have enjoyed their work for years, both when they were with Prince and also on their own as TV composers and film composers. They do some really, really wonderful work.
They're so good.
With Catherine and Sarah, the team-up reminds me of many a movie in the 1940s. You know, some of the movies made by Warner Brothers or Paramount or MGM that would feature, like, these grand scenes between women who were sort of either at opposite ends of the spectrum, or they were sort of rivals for the same lot in life, if you will. And they would always have their big scenes, if you will. And I'm curious, in having both Catherine and Sarah, who are two marvelous actresses, and we've enjoyed their performances in different ways for many years, that, how do you handle them in terms, particularly when they have big scenes together?
I mean, there's nothing really to handle. They are, you know, they're both amazing, you know, they're both so talented, so professional, but, you know, off screen, they're really good friends. So they were able to bring that chemistry to all of their scenes, whether it's the, you know, whether it's the two characters laughing together, or, you know, when they had to throw down and argue, you know, they felt safe and comfortable with each other, and they really brought it. And so I just, you know, I feel very lucky that their off-screen chemistry translates on screen, and you feel like these two women have a genuine, you know, love and affection for each other.
Mm-hmm. Firefly Lane is what we're talking about this first half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. It's the brand new Netflix scripted series, and it premieres on Wednesday. Of course, Netflix is available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the place, and some places also available on your local cable system. We've got Maggie Friedman, the executive producer and showrunner of the series, with us live from Los Angeles, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. In a day where LA is having hopefully great weather, here in New York, we got Super Snowstorm of 2021, and it may end up being one of the top 10 storms of all time. Believe it or not, more than 5 years ago, we had the biggest snowstorm in this New York metro area with over 27 inches of snow. We'll see if it goes anywhere near that by the time this all ends, which we think will now be between tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon. Anyway, if you have a question or comment or remaining minutes with Maggie, make the call 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next week, we have three episodes of our program for you, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at this very hour. And coming up next Monday, we will have the interview that we promised you last week from Peloton, Senior Vice President Karina Kogan. And we'll talk about what may be one of the big new trends in television this year, interactive fitness programming and services. And Peloton is certainly leading the way in that department. She will join us live next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Maggie, when all was said and done about making this show, what did you come away with in terms of what you wanted to accomplish and what was accomplished in producing the series?
I mean, I feel grateful. We made a show, all of us, you know, everybody who worked on the show worked so hard, and we made a show that we're all really proud of, that we had a lot of fun making, and I think it shows. And everybody brought such passion, you know, to the each, you know, it's like we're talking about Wendy and Lisa, we're talking about the set design, everybody, the actors, they all brought such passion to their jobs. And I, you know, I feel like my goal was I want to make a show that I would watch, that I would really want to watch. And we did. Like, I'm really proud of the show. I enjoy the episodes when I see them. I feel like we put something out into the world that's hopefully going to be uplifting for people. It's a very uplifting story. It's a fun escape right now in a time when I think people need that. So I'm just really proud of it.
Yeah. The timing of this by Netflix is very interesting because they're coming off two series that have been critically acclaimed for how they depict women. One is The Queen's Gambit, which I think a lot of people think is going to be the Emmy possibility for best miniseries of the year or the season. And the other is Bridgerton, Shonda Rhimes' first series for Netflix, which is getting great reviews for how women are portrayed and also the diversity that's showcased on that series, now going to a second season, which will hopefully be this fall. I'm curious, you're thinking about the timing of this, is that you're sort of following this new wave of women's roles and how Netflix is showing them.
Yeah, I mean, those are two amazing shows, and I think if you know this show similarly is about strong women, about interesting, complex relationships. The women are you know three dimensional, and they are in charge of their own lives. It's about you know their ambitions, their dreams, their relationships. There is love and romance. And there's also, but really it's about, you know, how the friends in your life, the non-romantic relationships, that can sometimes end up being the most important person. Your soulmate might not be the person you marry, but it might be your lifelong friend.
Where does Firefly Lane stand in terms of your television career? What's been sort of your road to doing this?
Well, I started out, you know, years ago as a baby writer on Dawson's Creek, and I've written all kinds of shows along the way. You know, I created a couple shows that were about witches, that were kind of more fantasy. But even then, like I've just always been interested in women's lives, their relationships, their experiences. Bringing an authentic view on what it's like to be a woman. And so, you know, even when I was writing these, you know, kind of magical women, it was always meant to be a metaphor for what we all go through. And so this just feels like an extension of that. But I'm so excited. I mean, it's cool to be able to tell a story that spans somebody's whole life, you know, from to see the way they grow and evolve from childhood, you know, at least into middle age. I think it's really cool.
By the way, what was the show you did? What were those programs that you wrote for?
I created an adaptation of Witches of Eastwick for ABC about a little over 10 years ago. And then I did a show that was on Lifetime that I created, which was called Witches of East End, a little different. And that, that ran for a couple of years on Lifetime and was super fun. It was Julia Ormond, Jenna Dewan, Mage Namek, and Rachel Boston played the witches, and we had a great time making that show. So
yeah, I remember we did an episode with some of the writers and producers of that program, and it ran for several years on Lifetime. It was a really good show, and Julia is a wonderful actress. I remember her from Sabrina, and other things as well. Jenna Dewan, of course, had a sensational career ever since, with the Step Up movies and so forth, and World of Dance more recently. Yeah. For NBC, so that turned out to be a series with a lot of great talent.
It was, we had a great time making that show. We often talk, the people that were involved in it, we're all still in touch, and we often talk about, oh, wouldn't it be great to come back and you know, do another season or do a little movie, because we all have a lot of affection for each other and for those characters, so...
So Maggie, what is next for you? Do you see some way, maybe if this go around of firefighting works, to maybe extend the story a little bit, or do you see working another project? What are you up to?
I mean, my hope is that people watch the show and that we do some more seasons. I still have, you know, the show ends on a cliffhanger, and there are a lot of unanswered questions, and I have so many more storylines to tell for these characters. So I, you know, my hope is that people watch it and we get to keep going, because we just had so much fun doing the first season.
Oh, have you heard back from Kristen Hanna, the novelist? What is any words from her about what she thinks?
Oh yeah, she's, you know, I've been in touch with her throughout. I gave her, you know, early drafts of the episodes, and she gave me feedback, and she came to set, and you know, she came to our wrap party. She's been so wonderful and supportive, and just a great champion of the show. I love Kristen, and she's obviously, you know, such an amazing writer. She has so much, you know, she has a new book coming out this week, The Four Winds. And she's been so supportive all throughout.
Firefly Lane, it's Netflix's first scripted series of this month, and it premieres this Wednesday. And again, Netflix is available on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, depending on where you are, also on your local cable system. For more details about the promo online, go to Netflix.com. It's Netflix.com. Firefly Lane, it begins this Wednesday. Maggie Freeman, the executive producer and showrunner, thank you again for joining us out of Los Angeles. Best to you, everybody involved in the program. Hopefully this is the beginning of a long, long run, and we appreciate you being aboard.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is a pleasure.
Stay dry there.
Stay
out of the snow. Okay. Bye.
Take care. Maggie Freeman from Firefly Lane, joining us live from Los Angeles. More tomorrow be televised coming away, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. I mentioned during our interview just now with Maggie about Bridgerton. Well, guess what? Now you can catch audiobooks of the novels by Julia Quinn that inspired that fantastic Netflix series that's going to a second season in production later this spring. It's called The Duke and I, and if you get to be a member of Audible.com, you can try it out right now with a one-month trial run. And in case you don't know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from. And you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Verbal, iHeartRadio, et cetera, et cetera. If you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook like The King and The Duke and I by Julia Quinn, one of the British novels. Plus, you get health and wellness material, one-month trial, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Oh, and if you're already an Amazon Prime member, guess what? You get two audiobooks for the trial of one. And maybe you can make one of those books from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. It's original audio material and podcast, best of Broadway, Off-Broadway, regional theater, and great one-woman and one-man shows from all over the place. So how about making today, especially here in the Northeast, where you're dealing with all that snow, how about making today the day that you discover how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the girl, you hear the world. And by the way, it makes a great gift on any occasion for you or someone you love. AudibleTrial.com/televised for all the details. You're listening to Marvy Televised. We are the promo about TV's current and future. We come your way Mondays and Fridays, sometimes other days, two in the week, on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And don't forget, you can now listen to our program on podcast on Verbal, the brand new podcast destination. That's Verbal. It's pronounced Verbal, B-E-R-B-A-L. It is actually spelled B-U-R-B-L. And to get all of our episodes there, go to verbal.com. It's www.verbal.com. They have some wonderful material, over 25,000 podcasts, and I think you'll enjoy every one of them, particularly on a day like today. So again, it's www.verbal.com. Remember, you can also check out our podcast at the Media Destination website, Media Village. That's MediaVillage.com, where I write to Marvy Televised columns for. And when you do, you can catch my columns, plus great reporting and commentary on what's going on in TV and media from the likes of Ed Martin, Charlene Weiser, Christy Moore, Jeff Minsky, all sorts of wonderful talent, and the leader of that wonderful website, Jack Myers himself. So again, that's MediaVillage.com. Check out my Tomorrow Be Televised columns there, as well as podcasts. They're available for you 24/7 at www.MediaVillage.com. When we come back, we'll check in with an animated series about a guardian devil. It's called Devil May Care, premieres this Saturday at midnight on Sci-Fi. Executive producer and possible Oscar nominee Amanda Miller will join us live from L.A. after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected with the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tunein.com. Together, reach over 50 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Remember, Blog Talk Radio will keep you company throughout this snowstorm if you're in the Mid-Atlantic states. So tune in. Don't go on the road. Stay home. Listen to BTR, including the Indie Artist Radio Show. That's happening tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. The Indie Artist Radio Show, your best look and listen at the world of independent music. The Indie Artist Radio Show, tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to more of Tomorrow Be Televised, the promo about TV's current and future. We're coming your way live from New York as a super snowstorm is hitting the New York metro area. It's already hitting Philadelphia as well, and we'll be coming to Boston and points north over the next 24 hours. Time to have I'm with you live from New York. Thank you for joining us. 30 degrees at the top of the hour. If you're in the New York City area, if you don't need to go out, don't go out. Stay here. Listen to us. Listen to Blog Talk Radio and our fellow podcast affiliates, and we'll get you through this snowstorm lickety-split. We have a great guest coming your way in the half hour ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. So make the phone call go, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Also coming up in the next half hour or so, our classic trivia question of the week. Also, we have some news note quickies coming your way, and we'll have a tribute to Alan Burns, the famous co-creator of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, who passed away this weekend. But right now, we are going to talk about a guardian devil, the guardian devil who happens to be the main protagonist, if you will, of a new animated series coming to sci-fi this Saturday as part of their popular and growing lineup, TZGZ, of late-night animation. It's called Devil May Care. And here to talk about it, again live from Los Angeles, is its executive producer, Amanda Miller. Amanda, welcome in.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure. So, Amanda, what got you involved in this interesting tale of Guardian Devil?
The story of Devil May Care is created by Doug Goldstein, who's had a story on Robot Chicken, and he's somebody that I had known for a while, and we'd worked on some other smaller projects, and eventually had the conversation about, hey, do you have a television show that you'd want to develop and pitch together? And Devil May Care is where we landed. So, yeah, it comes from the weird brain of Doug Goldstein, and it is a workplace comedy about what the Lord of Hell, Devil, does in his day-to-day activities down in hell, and his social media manager, Beans, who assists him in trying to rebrand and elevate the look of hell.
It's interesting how if you're a guardian devil, you don't just lead people, souls, through their new destination in life or death, if you will, but also they got to handle their social media, their own version of Facebook and Twitter and things like that.
Yes, yes. And so you can imagine, you know, you think about what social media does for us here on Earth and what that might look like when you put it in the context of hell.
Now, last month we had an interview, we talked about this before the program, with Chris Sheridan, who is the executive producer and developer of Resident Alien, the popular comic book that's now a sci-fi series. And as it turns out, the actor who plays the Resident Alien is also a very important part of your show.
That is true. Alan Tudyk is the star of Resident Alien, and he is also the voice of Devil. He's an immensely talented voice actor. He actually usually voices multiple characters within each episode. I saw a tweet, I think, that maybe Sci-Fi had posted where somebody said I could listen to Alan Tudyk read a phone book, and I think it's true. He just brings a lot of fun to everything that he does.
And I've seen clips, by the way, of your series and of Resident Alien, and he has fun in both. Whether you see him live or you've seen him in tune form, he is very, very funny and very unpredictable.
Yeah, he's amazing. He brings a lot to it. He'll think of jokes on the fly when he's on the mic. It's great. When we cast him, it elevated the show for sure.
And he's not the only major notable that is in your series. Another person that a lot of people I think will know is Pamela Adlon, who for the last couple of years has had one of TV's best series period in Better Things on FX.
She's amazing. She is also, I mean, her career, she's had a long history of animation voiceover in her career, and she's another person where you can put her on a mic and she can do so many different characters, and she brings so much to it. She's such a pro, and I mean, working with Pamela Adlon has always been, you know, a personal goal of mine, and so when we got her cast, that was also really exciting, because she's great in
better things, but she was also great back in Californication, you know, back in the 2000s, I guess. It was a while ago.
Right alongside another very interesting person, David Akande of X-Files fame.
Yes, yes. I was a big X-Files watcher in college. X-Files and Simpsons on, I guess it was Sunday nights. But yeah, we got an awesome cast. And then we have some, you know, some classic animation voiceover talent that you probably hear all the time and don't always know it, like Fred Tatasciore and Greg Griffin. And then a guy by the name of Asif Ali, who plays the role of Beans, who's a comedian and very funny. You know, and I think we're so fortunate because we've had such an incredible cast and crew that's really brought the show to life.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the process of bringing this show to life and sort of, DJ, I mentioned the tease that we've had so many shows and movies about guardian angels who come to the rescue of us crazy folks on Earth who are at tough times in our lives. Of course, everybody knows It's a Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart, and the angel that comes to get his wings through his interaction with that person. But this is really the first time we've ever had a guardian devil, that we've had a devil that really is out to do some good, if you will, by the way he handles his subject.
I think, 'cause the way Doug created the world was the concept that, like, you know, if you're going to be stuck in hell for eternity, who actually decided that it had to suck? You know, who made the rule that it had to be all lava and torture? And so I think after a while, Devil got tired. You know, I think he even says it in the pilot that, you know, the lava look is outdated and let's upgrade and let's have a good time as long as we're down here. And so there's something interesting about a guy who rules hell and what his concept of an upgrade would be like and how he improves the lives of his citizens. And then who in hell maybe isn't into the upgrades? Maybe who in hell kind of likes the old way of fire and brimstone and torture? And I think also, you know, contextualized with the fact that, like, the stuff that's in hell isn't the same stuff that's going to end up in heaven. So you're probably trying to upgrade maybe without the best tools at your disposal. So what do you do with that?
Did he have an inspiration? Did he look to something to sort of inspire him to, like, picture the world that this all takes place in?
One of the key points that we used when we were pitching the show is what the difference between and how to illustrate the difference between heaven and hell was. If you go to heaven, you're probably going to get an iPod. And if you go to hell, you're probably going to get a Zune or a generic MP3 player. And so the nuance and the difference of what those two different products were kind of like a North Star for us. So it was really fun to think of all the different ways that you could make hell feel very hellish. Like if you went into a coffee shop and every coffee was $15 and they didn't have any public bathrooms. I mean, you've got a coffee shop, which is great, but the coffee is super overpriced and then you can't use the bathroom. So, you know, it was a lot of like brainstorming and working with the artists that we were able to work with on our crew to do the design and come up with, like, just different weird things that have existed on Earth and how we could kind of make fun of them and put them in hell. Like, another fun joke is that the only public transportation in hell is coal-fired buses and monorails.
did you or your colleagues ever see the Twilight Zone episode, A Nice Place to Visit?
I don't remember. Which one is that?
It's an episode with the late, great actor Larry Blind. He plays a criminal who gets shot, he gets killed, and he thinks he has gone to heaven. And he has a guide, played by the wonderful Sebastian Cabot, of Family Affair fame and Checkmate and other things. And he thinks all along that he is in heaven. And because it looks like heaven, you know, it looks like, you know, this is Nirvana whenever. And, of course, the twist of the story is he isn't. He's in hell. And it's Sebastian Cabot who breaks the news to him saying, you know, L blank, what do you think this is? This is the other place, as he likes
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's because everything's to it. Too perfect, right?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's like your program in animated form is like a twist on that, you know, here's what hell looks like.
Yeah, a little bit. I think so. And I think it's interesting, too, because we didn't want to make hell a place where, you know, all the pedophiles and murderers went, hell is really a repository for just about everything. Like, the stuff that makes it into heaven is extraordinarily selective. And so hell is probably going to end up with, like, you know, 99% of the stuff that you see on earth. So it really wasn't meant to feel like a total punishment. It was more about how does everybody coexist together and keep on keeping on in eternity and work in their office and have a job and try to date and have friends and go to the movies. And how do you construct that out of the detritus that's left over?
We're speaking with Amanda Miller. She is the executive producer of Sci-Fi's new animated series, Devil May Care. It's part of their growing late night animation block, TZGZ, and you can find it this Saturday at midnight Eastern and Pacific time on Sci-Fi, where you can also find Alan Turk in his live-action form in the new series Resident Alien, which is on this Wednesday night, by the way, on that very, very network. And if you want to check our interview with Chris Sheridan, the executive with some showrunner of that series, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Amanda joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon, I've been with you live from New York, from the very snowy New York City metro area, 30 degrees at the top of the hour. At 1 o'clock this afternoon, already 13 plus inches in Central Park. We're expecting at least 12 to 18. It could go higher before this snowstorm passes. We think right now sometime between tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow evening. It may even linger Wednesday with flurries. We'll see. And if you have a question or comment with Amanda, why don't you make a call and be part of it and interact with us. It's 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04, my name, Rick Webb, our good friend from Philadelphia, which also has a good chunk of snow on the ground already and still getting it, is also in the room. Don't forget, Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll look ahead past the Super Bowl to another effort at spring football. It's called America 7, 7-on-7 football, and it will have a big television presence later this spring. We'll talk to the founder of this venture. His name is Senior Corcus, will be with us. And then we'll talk to somebody we've had on this program before, unscripted TV producer Abby Greensfelder. 2 years ago, she launched her own shingle, Every Woman Studios, to get more women involved in unscripted television. And she's got a very big project right now happening, and we'll talk to her about that too. It's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Amanda, you happen to have a wonderful animated talent that works with you. His name is Chris Prysocki. I've enjoyed his work for years, and I'm curious how you and her and him and everybody else in your animation crew sort of came up with what the Devil's Playground, if you will, looks like in your series.
We did a lot of look-dev at the beginning of the process. Initially, when we were pitching the project out, Doug and I did a couple style frames of what the world of the Devil would look like. The show evolved quite a bit, too, from when we were pitching it to when we went into production. And then as we were working through each script and we knew that we would have these different environments, Doug and some of the other writers would work with the designers to come up with lists of things that would be funny to see. And then we would review sketches and, you know, refine the sketches and then, of course, run them all through the lawyers and build the world out from there. But I think, you know, when you watch it, if you look at the signage that's in the background and the props and stuff like that, there's a lot of detail and a lot of, like, fun little Easter eggs to notice.
Now, Chris, by the way, is very skilled at environments in animated television. One of his first big hits was a show on MTV called Downtown, which I remember very fondly. It was a wonderful series, and Chris was the brain behind it, and a lot of people still fondly remember that show. So when it comes to environments, giving you, like, the playground, if you will, that your animators can work in, he certainly is a great talent at that.
Yeah, he is. He's a legend. I mean, he has formed Titmouse Studios that does the show and, I mean, a ton of other shows. And he's so knowledgeable. He's got so much experience, and he's a really kind, generous person, too. So I've always found him to be a great resource when I have questions about something that I'm working on and I need some input and, you know, professional advice. But he's awesome. And Downtown is great.
Like,
I actually got a copy of those DVDs the other day. They're so crazy.
They are. Absolutely, Amanda. It sounds like a lot of the episodes deal with some sort of satire on our life right now. Was that pretty much in mind in terms of designing the individual episodes?
Yeah, I mean, some of the episodes we wanted to get into detail that are specific about other characters than Devil and Beans being Devil's social media coordinator. There's absolutely satire in there that's poking a lot of fun at just what social media does to our world, or to hell, I guess we would say. And then there's also some commentary, I think just general social commentary too, just in terms of how people treat one another, especially lately. So yeah, there's some good jokes in there, some kind of sly stuff.
How fast did you, what kind of time frame did you have to work to produce the episodes?
Oh my gosh. Wow. I don't remember how long our calendar was. I want to say it was about, I think it was about 35 weeks maybe from script lock to delivery, but I'd have to look. It felt really fast, to be honest. I think, you know, our art and animation team did an incredible job, because TZGZ was really wanting to get stuff to air quickly because they're building this late night anim block and their eyeballs that want new content. So we definitely had the pedal to the metal, and we were just getting started when everybody had to go home for the pandemic too. We actually flew, a lot of the work happened up in Vancouver, and Alan's living in Vancouver right now. So we flew Doug up one day to go sit with an editor and to do the VO record with Alan. And that morning, the Vancouver studio shut their doors because of the pandemic. So we got him up there and we got him to record Alan. And then it was like, get back on the plane right away so you can get across the border. So, you know, working remotely has been interesting too, because the show has always been remote. We all adapted, I guess, but it was all Zoom, you know, all Google Hangout, all Slack and Basecamp.
It seems, by the way, that one of the big developments last year with the pandemic was that animated shows were, because of the fact of the process it takes to produce animation, because you have all sorts of things happening in different places, that because there were ways to communicate like Zoom, like Google Hangout, like you know, other ways to communicate, that that the animation scenes seem to go on better or adapt better to the environment of the pandemic than live action shows.
100%. Yes. I mean, you know, a lot of the animation studios, we work on constantly updating our technology anyway, because it makes our jobs easier. So I think that we were uniquely well suited to be able to go remote relatively quickly. And a lot of artists already have a really robust home setup. Obviously, you want to be in the room with your team members, because I think that's where you can really kind of get into the nitty gritty, and you form relationships in a certain way that you can't really form over Zoom. And especially when you're getting into the final details of nailing down editorial and sound, like, it's so much better to do it in person, but it can be done remotely. We did it remotely. And I hope we get to do it in person for another season, for season two, should we be so lucky. But yeah, it can be done. And my husband's a cinematographer, so his business just kind of shut down immediately and now kind of wants to reopen in fits and starts. But I got to say, animation's never been busier, especially with the fact that there's so many streamers and networks that are buying more stuff anyway. And then when they couldn't shoot live action for a number of months, everything, you know, and everybody ramped up the animation super fast.
And also, it seems to me that we are seeing a lot of breakthroughs in animation as well. There's like pushing the envelope. We've been covering, for example, Netflix's The Liberator, Trioscope Studios, which was involved with that out of Atlanta. We're seeing less reliance on going to studios overseas to do the animation. More of it's being done in the United States. And we're seeing things like lifelike animation of historical events, like in The Liberator, more use of 3D and computer animation and cell animation in the same show. It seems that all the animated studios out there are, whether you're based in Los Angeles or New York, wherever, are really trying to push things to, like, the next level.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of really cool tools and jumps in technology that have made things possible that weren't possible before, particularly, like, real-time rendering and using these game engines to, you know, to render or to do motion capture. You know, it's not all tools are right for every project, but there's definitely a lot more possible than used to be, not long ago when everything was still done on cell. It wasn't, that was in the 90s, you know, or on paper. And I know some studios still like to work like that, but there's so many options. And now it's coming to a point where I feel like we need more talent. We need more artists. We're running out of people to actually do the work.
Devil May Care is the new series on Sci-Fi's Late Night Block TVGZ, and that will be on this Saturday night at midnight Eastern Pacific Time on Sci-Fi. We've got the executive producer of the program, Amanda Miller, joining us live from L.A. this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Some of them will be live from New York. Happy to have you with us again. If you are in the area of this massive snowstorm, please, if you don't need to go out, stay home, be part of our program. Listen to more good stuff coming your way on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker and TuneIn Radio and our podcast affiliates, and we'll all get you through this snowstorm as quickly and as greatly as possible. And if you have a question or comment for Amanda or Minnie Mitz with her, well, why not make your fingers do the walking and make that phone call happen, 646-652-2906. Or be sure about using the phone, no problem. Use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, next week we'll have 3 episodes of this program for you. Monday, Wednesday, Friday at this very hour. And joining us on Monday among our guests, we'll have the Senior Vice President of Peloton and the Global Head of Product Marketing, Karina Kogan, with us. Peloton is leading the way in a brand new trend happening here in the world of TV, interactive fitness programming and services. And there's more to come in that arena. And we'll talk all about that with Karina next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And Amanda, it's my understanding that you may be up for an Oscar very soon.
Oh, it's so exciting. We have a short film that we did at our studio in LA, New York. It's called Lost and Crowned, and you can check it out on YouTube. And it's the story tasked with guarding the king's crown, and then all, you know, hell breaks loose, and they have to retrieve the crown and try to get it back to the king. And that has been a 2-year long labor of love. So speaking of the craft of animation, that's something that we're super proud of, because I think the story is really good, but I think it also just looks phenomenal.
And now, is it qualified because it was shown in movie theaters as well as on YouTube?
We had a cinematic release that qualified us.
Terrific. You mentioned motion capture before the break, and a couple of years ago, I was at Verizon Media's event here in New York near the former World Trade Center, and they showed their 5G labs in Los Angeles. They actually did live motion capture animation. I'm wondering what your thoughts are about motion capture, because one of the things I'm hearing about is that with things like 5G, augmented reality, artificial intelligence, that we're going to see some very interesting developments in terms of doing motion capture quickly, maybe even doing it on the fly, maybe doing it even live in real time. So I was curious your thoughts about motion capture and where that's going.
I think it's really cool. I mean, again, not every tool is right for every job, but it's really fun to be able to do live motion capture, do a real-time render, and, you know, you can stream something that's fully animated moments after you do the motion capture. So it's a fascinating tool. I think it's really cool.
The other thing I was wondering about is artificial intelligence. Last month, we did an interview with the people behind a project on Facebook Watch and Portal TV called Rival Peak. It's a competition series where the characters are created by artificial intelligence video. And the audience interacts with the characters, moves them in their place from wherever they're watching on television with this, and votes a character off every week. Whether you've seen this or not, have you seen other attempts to do artificial intelligence and use that in the animation process?
I have seen some tests that Google put out that were visually just really beautiful. And it was an algorithm that I think sourced a lot of different images and kind of compiled them into a single one. But I haven't seen anything that resulted in a single character design. But that would be interesting to see, especially if you were cueing it with certain, keywords, and then seeing where the AI took it.
Yeah, and also whether that might fit in with augmented reality. We just had a couple weeks ago the NFL playoff game that Nickelodeon did, where Nickelodeon actually had this sort of when a football player scored a touchdown, they would have slime animatedly coming out on the end zone, and it was a very cool effect. And that was all done by augmented reality animation. So it'll be interesting to see whether that plays in. But that becomes a tool in the hands of people like yourself. If you go to a second season, Sci-Fi gives you that, and hopefully they do, mm-hmm. How do you want to expand Devil May Care? Where do you want to take the series?
Well, one of the things that I really like about it is that it's not totally episodic. You can watch an episode and know what's going on, but there's also a serialized overarching thread that occurs. And so I think it'll be interesting to see how the characters develop in their relationships with one another. And I don't want to spoil anything, but I will say that the last episode of season one is a to be continued. And I think since we're, you know, the beginning of the season is introducing Beans as Devil's new social media coordinator. This is a new role that's invented in the pilot for Hell. And how, you know, how does social media change Hell? How does Devil, you know, evolve his position? He's also, you know, constantly looking for feedback from a higher source. He's always emailing God, and God never gets back to him. Well, what happens if God does get back to him one day? But I think, you know, the world is ultimately, like, infinitely expandable, too. So I think that's cool, because we can go to different realms. We could, you know, go back to Earth. We can go to heaven. We can check out what's going on in the universe outside just the domain of Hell.
Mm-hmm. One more arena I wanted to get your thoughts on before we go is this whole scene of adult animation. You know, it wasn't mm-hmm. so long ago that if you wanted to watch animation aimed at adults, there was one place to do it. That was Adult Swim. Now you have mm-hmm. Sci-Fi with this block. You have all the shows that have been going on, like BoJack Horseman, others on Netflix, on Amazon, on Hulu, on other places. You have short subjects now being put on channels that are available on smart TV sets and smart devices. It seems that there is this incredible new freedom that has redeveloped, where adult animation and children's animation, or animation for family viewing, is all on the same plane, and that they're all mm-hmm. growing at the same time. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I would agree. One of the things that I really love about adult animation is it's so writer-driven. And you can do things in animation that you can't do in live action. The idea of trying to put up a show of Devil and his social media coordinator in Hell in as a live action show is such a monumental undertaking if you were going to have to actually shoot that. But you can do it in animation. You can create any kind of world that you want. You can make characters fly, and it's not going to cost you a bajillion dollars and require, you know, crazy rigs and stunts. So it's nice to see that there's so many more opportunities for these writers and these voices to find a place to express their ideas. And there's just, yeah, there's a lot of great stuff going on right now. Like, I also feel, you know, Rick and Morty was a show that managed to catch so many imaginations and open that space up. And like you said, BoJack Horseman as well, just, and Big Mouth too. There's a lot of, like, really thoughtful stuff that's happening, and it's funny and it's raunchy and it's very adult, but it's also really brilliant.
Yeah. And one other thing, too, is that we have really seen the fact that women can be as integral to this industry as men. And I remember back in 1991, when Nickelodeon introduced their first efforts at creator animation, Doug, the Ren and Stimpy show, and Rugrats, one of the key things that people did not talk about at the time, but it turned out to be very historic, is that all three were produced by women. You had Mel Gerasani producing Doug, with Christine Dokken working on Ren and Stimpy, along with John Kricfalusi, and you had Arlene Classby, of course, with Classby Cuspo, her husband at the time, doing Rugrats. And and that really, I think, turned out to be a turning point in terms of women having a major role to play with animation.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think women have always been there. I think we tend to be in producer positions and not so much out in the limelight, and I think, especially lately, that there's been a real focus on diversity in entertainment, gender diversity, ethnic diversity, that women are going to have more opportunities to be able to be recognized as creators and head writers. I mean, Tuca and Birdie was amazing, and that was Lisa Hannawalt getting her own show off, you know, the success of BoJack, which she was a partner in the creation of.
And on the children's animation side, Chris Nee, who did Doc McStuffins, wonderful series for Disney Channel, and now she's working on new projects for Netflix and other places, and really, really, it's just outstanding to see more women and women of color really take a big lead in terms of animation, not just as animators, but also as producers, as main writers, as storyboard people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. beyond the voiceover.
And also main characters. Yeah, like empathetic and sympathetic main characters in the show. Like, I really like how there's, you know, Big Mouth was originally about the two boys that were friends, but their friends are females, and they are well considered, well fleshed out characters that have intelligence and lives and ideas of their own that aren't just there to serve the plot of the male characters.
You can start seeing Devil May Care this Saturday night at midnight Eastern Pacific Time as part of Sci-Fi's growing late night animation block TZGZ. Again, it's at midnight Saturday Eastern and Pacific Time. Check the locals where Sci-Fi is available in your area on cable and satellite. And for more details about the promo online, go to syfysci-fi.com. That's sci-fi.com. And don't forget Resident Alien with Alan Turdick. That's on Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Sci-Fi. And if you want to catch our interview with Chris Sheridan, the showrunner and executive producer of that program, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Amanda Miller, executive producer of Devil May Care and possible Oscar nominee. We'll know that in a few weeks. Congratulations on getting this new series off the ground. Hopefully the beginning of a long, long run. Good luck on the Oscar possibility. And thank you again for making the time for us on this very snowy day here in New York.
Yes, thank you for having me, and stay safe out there. That weather looks crazy.
It is. It's you think of raining or snowing cats and dogs, maybe the whole animal kingdom, we should say, is coming down on us today.
Yeah. Yeah, stay warm.
Will do, Amanda. Take care. All the greatest.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Amanda Miller from Devil May Care joining us live from Los Angeles. When we come back, the latest on the New York snowstorm, more news, no quickies, including an update on the death of Dustin Diamond, Screech on Saved by the Bell, and our special tribute to Alan Burns, who came out of animation writing, a little thing called Rocky and Bullwinkle, who made it very big in the world of live-action situation comedy, including The Mary Tyler Moore Show, which he co-created with the great James Brooks. We'll get to all of that after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. Don't forget, the TuneIn Radio is your home for the ongoing Coronavirus News Channel. Get the latest updates from all over the world, including podcasts and original materials. The Coronavirus News Channel, 24/7, TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com. Welcome back to more of our special expanded edition of Tomorrow Be Televised on this first day of February, 2021. Simon Applebaum here with you live from whoever you are. Thank you again for joining us. And welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. In case you have, if you're here in the Northeast, Mid-Atlantic states, you're in the thick of a big, big snowstorm known as Orlena. And already, Orlena's done a lot of snow popping here in the New York metro area. As of 3 hours ago, 1 p.m. Eastern time, in Central Park alone, 13.3 inches. And reportedly, the snow is coming down around 2 inches per hour. Portsmouth, New Jersey, by the way, as of 1 p.m. Eastern time, up to and including 18 inches of snow, especially in northern New Jersey. In case you don't know the latest forecast, here it is. The snow is coming down here in New York, in New Jersey, in Connecticut at the rate of 2 inches per hour. The winds are 50 to 25 miles per hour. The gusts, however, are 30 to 50 miles an hour. If you don't need to go out, if you're listening to us anywhere in the New York metro area, or upstate New York, et cetera, New Jersey, if you don't need to go out, stay home. Be comfortable. Cozy up. Let the sanitation people do their job. Because right now, the forecast is that we're supposed to get this heavy snow at least until 6 to 7 o'clock tonight. Then, depending on whether the low that is causing this storm moves off the Atlantic Ocean and goes north, that's when we'll find out whether we keep having heavy snow into the night or whether it turns into flurries and then ends sometime tomorrow. We don't yet know when. The projection still is for New York City itself, 12 to 18 inches. For Long Island, anywhere from 3 to 12 inches, depending on the rain-snow line. We think that rain line is going to happen for a lot of Long Island overnight into Tuesday, which would wash away a lot of the snow. If you're in New England, there's still a lot of snow for you coming up. Right now, the projection for Boston, as well as Providence, other parts of Massachusetts and Rhode Island, 5 to 8 inches. Nashua, New Hampshire, Worcester, Massachusetts, Central Massachusetts, 12 to 18. And your snow is not going to end until probably tomorrow night, early Wednesday. So, again, wherever you are in the Northeast listening to us, if you don't need to go out, let the sanitation people do their job. Take it easy. If you do need to go out, bundle up, wear masks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of activities are closed. And I know here in New York, by the way, if you're wondering, yes, if you have a coronavirus vaccine appointment, it is not happening today and may not happen tomorrow either. So You may have to, you'll definitely have to reschedule, so be prepared for that. All right? All righty. When we come back, we're going to have our classic trivia question of the week, and also coming up, our tribute to the great sitcom writer Alan Burns, who passed away this weekend. He was the co-creator of The Mary Tyler Moore Show. But first, let's give you a bunch of news note quickies. Amazon is setting up a Solos, that's S-O-L-O-S, Solos anthology series with Constance Wu, Morgan Freeman, and Uzoa Duba among the stars of the individual episodes. Nickelodeon's next game show will be a primetime affair. Tuned In, starting next Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, has kids putting their cartoon trivia minds to the test with an animated supercomputer as MC. Sarah Hess, the co-writer of Game of Thrones' proposed prequel series House of the Dragon, will develop more content for HBO under a new two-year agreement. Mattel and Fremantle are co-developing a game show at a popular arcade attraction, Whack-A-Mole. And in case you did not get the news, and we got it before we went on the air, Dustin Diamond, the original Screech on Saved by the Bell, has died at the age of 44. He was recently hospitalized about 3-4 weeks ago with stage 4 brain cancer. We understand from a public spokesperson that he died peacefully. He died of complications off that situation with stage 4 brain cancer. And that's the latest we have on the Dustin Diamond situation. And that is news notes for today. All right, now time for our classic trivia question of the week. And if you're first with the correct answer, we have 4 prizes in play for you. 3 of them are from Telelaria, the wonderful Clutch Plus Money and Card Clip. We've got the Crazy Stupid Love DVD. That's the film with Ryan Gosling and Steve Carell and Julianne Moore and Emma Stone, Risa Tomei, Kevin Bacon, Tens of Thousands. We also have the book by David Tice, The Genius Box, How the Idiot Box Got Smart and is Changing the Television Business. And we have the new Sopranos book, Off the Back of a Truck. And all that can be yours if you know the answer to this trivia question, which we started offering a week ago. Complete the name of this character of the original series, The Equalizer. That's the 1980s original series on CBS, not the new Queen Latifah version that premieres after the Super Bowl Sunday night. Mickey, that's M-I-C-K-E-Y, blank. Mickey, blank. Once again, the question, complete the name of this character from The Equalizer. That's the original 1980s series starring Edwin Woodward. Mickey, blank. If you know the answer, all you have to do is email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. Your first correct answer, you will win all 4 prizes. If you've won before, hold off. Let somebody else win. We're looking for our first classic trivia winner of 2021. Let's see if we get that person today or before this week ends. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter. That's on Facebook and on Twitter. Simon Applebaum is my Facebook address. Twitter is at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's UBC Simon, TWBT. But remember, when you're emailing the answer, it is by email, not by social media. I know sometimes we get people on our Facebook or Twitter page that say they have the answer or close. And we tell them, you've got to do it by email so that we get your name and address as well, so we can get the prize out to you as soon as humanly possible. So, once again, get involved with our class trivia question of the week. Who knows? You might be our first big winner of 2021. Let's give you that question one last time. Complete the name, character from The Equalizer. Mickey, blank. Mickey, M-I-C-K-E-Y, like Mickey Mouse, blank. And remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So, do so, and all the very best. More and more, we are saying goodbye to some of the great iconic figures in the world of television. Great actors, writers, producers, directors, animators, people who made a great contribution for the greater in the world of television. Just this past week alone, we said goodbye to Larry King, the master of the extended interview on both TV and radio. We did a tribute to him on our program a week ago. And I want to thank everybody who listened to that tribute. We had a lot of great response to it. Thank you so much for that. Cloris Leachman, an actress who starred in television in the early 1950s, did many, many guest star roles. Some of you may remember her as the mother in the classic Twilight Zone episode, It's a Good Life, and the sequel, It's Still a Good Life, with, of course, the person who played Anthony both ways as a child and as an adult, Billy Mooney. And then, of course, she was on the Mary Tyler Moore Show with her breakout role playing the irascible landlord Phyllis, and later on got her own comedy series for 2 seasons on CBS. All that, of course, was after her Oscar-winning role, Best Supporting Actress, in The Last Picture Show. We had Sunny Fox, who left us late last week at the age of 95. One of the great children's show hosts ever in any city, did Wonderama, and Just for Fun, 7.5 hours, 8 hours of original children's television every weekend for a number of years, 1960s. And then, of course, this past Friday, we lost Cicely Tyson, one of the great actresses and one of the great groundbreaking actresses in the history of television, who was up for 17 Emmy nominations, won 3 over the course of her career, including 2 for the same role in the autobiography of that role, Miss Jane Pittman, and who continued to act until last year when she did Cherish the Way, the Ava DuVernay series for the Oprah Winfrey Network. Well, it's interesting that today we're honoring somebody who started his career in animation. It's interesting because of, we just had the interview with Amanda Miller from Devil May Care. And that person is Alan Burns. In the late 1950s, Alan teamed up with a fellow writer named Chris Hayward and animation producer named Jay Ward to put together a show called Rocky and His Friends. It was a show on ABC, later NBC, ran for 4 or 5 years in different ways, also in syndication on local stations, ultimately called The Bullwinkle Show, and it was a comedy classic, a show that adults and kids loved in equal splendor, if you will. And then later on in the 60s, he and Chris created George of the Jungle. Yep, George of the Jungle, friend to that show. Yes, he was the person with Chris that put together. He and Chris made a wonderful team during most of the 1960s, and after their exploits in animated television, they got into live-action television. They worked with 2 other top comedy people, Joe Conley and Bob Mosher of Leave the Beaver fame, on a series called The Munsters, ran 2 seasons on CBS from 1964 to 66. And then there was that show that a lot of people still think is one of the worst situation comedies ever, called My Mother's the Car for NBC with Jerry Van Dyke. However, they did come up with one of the best original theme songs of all time with that show, one that you could sing with following the bouncing ball. A few years later, they teamed up one more time for He and She, the wonderful series with Paula Prentice and Richard Benjamin, which they won an Emmy Award for writing some of their best episodes. In addition, Chris and Alan also did Get Smart and other TV sitcoms throughout the 1960s. In the late 1960s, Alan Burns went from one writing partner, Chris Haywood, to another, James Brooks, in another classic series of that era, Room 222. Maybe, I think, one of the best series ever about the world of high school. Brooks started as a story editor, then became a major writer of the show before it ended over its 5-year run. And then in 1970, he teamed with Brooks directly to create a show about someone who could turn the world on with a smile, The Mary Tyler Moore Show. It started Mary Tyler's production career with MTM. It became one of the classic shows of the 70s and of all time, ran for 7 seasons. Later on, spun off a bunch of shows with some of their key characters, Rhoda with Valerie Harper, Phyllis, Doris Leachman, and Lou Grant in dramatic form with Ed Asner. And along the way, James and Alan also created Paul Sands' short-lived series on CBS, Friends and Lovers. Later on his own, Alan Burns would create such programs as The Duck Factory, which became the breakout show for Jim Carrey, later on in Living Color, Eisenhower and Lutz and FM. He also was nominated for an Oscar for his script for a wonderful movie starring Laurence Olivier and Diane Lane in her first performance on screen as a child, A Little Romance. You can still see that film often on Turner Classic Movies. Great, great screenplay. Great, great movie. Love it all the way. Wonderful family film directed by George Roy Hill, with multiple Oscar nominees, too. He also did a film with Kristen McNichol called Just the Way You Are, directed by Ernesto Molinari of the La Cosa Falls film fame. Not that great a film, unfortunately, but there were some nice moments, and it was Alan Burns' writing that helped save the film and did make it a hit, by the way, in the 1980s. Alan Burns had a wonderful career He passed away this Saturday at the age of 85. And he continued, by the way, after his TV career and movie career, to teach in Los Angeles, to be a mentor to many fellow writers coming up in the business. Just a great, great comedy mind. And one of the very, very best in his craft ever. And a great example, again, of somebody who started out in animation and then took the world by storm in live action, solo and with great partners like Chris Haywood and then James Brooks. The Mary Tyler Moore Show still can be seen all over the place. So can Room 222. You can see that on YouTube. Wonderful, wonderful work. Alan Burns, we're going to miss you very much. You're one of the best. You have contributed so much to this medium, and happy that much of that has been reserved for posterity for future generations. And they will come to love your work, I'm sure of that. All righty, well, that will do it for today's expanded edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Thanks to our guests for being with us. Thanks to all of you for tuning in, especially if you're listening to us in the Northeast, where the snow is still going on. Once again, the latest on the storm, it's still coming down here in the New York area at 2 inches or more per hour. I believe that right around now, it's probably around 15 inches, 6 inches of snow in Central Park. It looks like we're going to beat the projections. How much, we don't know. Latest word is that the snow is going to continue at the 2-inch rate for another few hours. Then it will taper off. We don't know how much it will taper off tonight and overnight. But we understand that the latest forecast is that we will still have snow flurries tomorrow morning and maybe tomorrow afternoon and evening. So we'll see what happens. Stay in touch with the Weather Channel, with your local forecasters, local TV stations, cable networks, et cetera, for up-to-date information. And again, if you're in the area of the storm, please, if you don't need to go out, don't go out. Stay home, warm yourself up, make sure that you let the sanitation people do their job. If you do have to go out, please bundle up to the max, wear that mask, do social distancing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Coming up Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we will look ahead past the Super Bowl on Sunday on CBS, and we'll talk about the American 7 Football League that's making a big splash on television this spring. The founder of the league, Senor Kouzoukousis, will be with us. And then unscripted producer Abby Greensfelder will be with us. She's had a own production company for the last 2 years, Every Woman Studios, and she's working on a new project to bring more women into the unscripted TV world. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And I hope you'll be with us, and we understand that by that time, we may hit 45, 50 degrees and with a rainstorm that may sweep whatever snow that is still on the ground away. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to that homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget our podcasts are available all over the place now. They're available on iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker Podcasts, TuneIn.com, IRRadio.com, Amazon Music, and our newest affiliate, Burble, at V-U-R-B-L, Burble.com. I hope you tuned into there. We've had some great response to our opening week there, and we really appreciate Burble and what they're doing. By the way, if there's a podcast site like Spotify, Westwood One, et cetera, that you'd like to hear our show on and doesn't carry our program, please do a nice favor, drop them a nice line, let them know you're a fan of the show, that you'd like to hear us there, and have them get in contact with us, and we'll make the deal. We really appreciate it. Be nice, okay? That's nice. Being nice, being considerate works every time. Absolutely. And don't forget, we love hearing from you. So if you have a question or comment about our program today, you have thoughts about where the world of TV is going, well, all you got to do is email me, and I do respond within 24 hours. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're from, and that's how you get involved in our classic trivia question each week for prizes, and that's how you get involved in one of our other features that we do regularly called The Show to Know. If there's a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention, we want to give it the attention. We really do, and we have to hear from you. And when we do, use your suggestion on the air, you get the credit, okay? So email me with your thoughts. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, UBC Simon, WBT, at UBC Simon, WBT. Also follow me on Facebook at Simon Applebaum. We have lots of people tuning in that way. And again, we do respond to whatever you have to say. Why? Well, like we always say, what you say matters now and always. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate BTR is Mandolin. Andy Toe is BTR's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, the head of content. The co-founders of Blog Talk Radio, this very enterprise, are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two, plus other material and a one-month trial, it's audibletrial.com/televised. It makes a great gift for you or someone you love, so check out that idea as well. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening again. If you don't need to go out today, stay home. Let the sanitation people do their job. We'll all get through this. And stay tuned to Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and Tuner Radio. They got some wonderful pros for you. They will keep you informed. Our hosts and producers will keep you informed about the state of the storm. And we'll all get through this together. Okay? Okay. Thank you for your listening. We are back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, Tuner Radio, Verbal, Amazon Music, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. As always, whatever you're up to between now and Friday, please make it safe, make it great, follow the pandemic rules. Let's lift this pandemic now more than ever and forever too. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.